Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And this is Sam.
And we are back to answer your questions about self-diagnosis.
Yeah, because people always have questions, and this was a big one.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to the episode about self-diagnosis, we're getting in like to the weeds here. So we recommend going back and starting with that first.
Yes. First one. Go.
Okay. From Layla. So I've been in therapy for anxiety for years, but recently came across information about CPTSD and realized it describes my experience perfectly. When I brought this up to my therapist, she said we should explore these patterns, but wouldn't confirm or deny if what I'm feeling is CPTSD. I left feeling frustrated. We've been working together for years, and I'm just really confused about why therapists can be hesitant to just give a straight answer about what someone has.
Well, one 50-minute chunk of time is not enough time to know someone enough in any way, shape, or form to feel that you could confidently assign something.
Yeah.
I mean, even think of getting a diagnosis from a doctor, right? You usually have multiple appointments. You usually end up going to a different specialist, multiple specialists. You end up having different scans, different tests, different this, different that. Like, it's the same thing if we're talking about mental health. And I really want to validate, it is so frustrating and it is so discouraging to feel that while you are suffering and hurting, us professionals over here look like we're kind of just like twiddling our thumbs and asking you a bunch of weird questions where you're like, no, I'm telling you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so I really want to empathize with that and hold space for that. And I'm sorry that we haven't figured out how to have a scan of the brain that can tell you like exactly what's going on with your mental health. And to do my due diligence as a therapist with my clients, like, for example, one of my clients, we figured out that she had ADHD and we had already been working together for a year. And it all of a sudden kind of clicked for us one day and we were talking about it and we realized and we were able to go back over the time that we worked together and the experiences that, you know, we had worked through together in that year and then go back and highlight different experiences that she had talked about in the past and things that had happened and new things that she hadn't realized were tied to that before. So not saying it has to take a year every time, but to give you credit, your life is not something that can be summed up in one 50-minute chunk.
Yep.
It just can't.
And even if you've been working together for a while, like I think that's an important part of the question, right? Is she's and I understand how someone could be like, well, you already know everything about me. But when you get a new piece of information, it does still take time as a therapist and in the relationship together to, like you talked about, Sam, go back through all of these different experiences and see if they fit, essentially.
Yeah, it's – I know from the outset it looks as if we're maybe avoiding something or not taking something seriously, when in reality what we're really trying to do is we do take it so seriously, we're not – willing to just kind of like throw it around and slap it on you and be like, oh, well, this is it for forever. Okay, bye. We really do take it seriously. And we want to make sure we've taken the time to really know you and understand what's going on and understand what is or is not like bothering you about it so that we can know if it fits or not. So yeah, it's hard. It sucks. It's discouraging. And I'm sorry. And I would say, like, if you are willing to go back to this therapist, talk to them.
Yeah, I think talking to your therapist about it is such a great idea because I think especially with something like CPTSD, right, it is, you know, it is a diagnosis that probably based on your experience, you've felt misunderstood, devalued, different, like an outsider. You didn't have words to really understand your experience and it can feel so good to have that square peg fit into that square hole perfectly. But so then your therapist kind of not jumping on board immediately, I think it can bring all of that up. So it would actually be a really great conversation to have with them because it could actually highlight and help them understand even more why this diagnosis you feel connected to because it's clearly probably like a pattern in your life. And I think this goes for a lot of diagnoses that we feel really protective of. We talked about this a little bit in the first part of the episode, but like really asking yourself why this diagnosis feels so important to you, why you feel so connected to it. What does it mean about you? Because I think for a lot of people, it means that you're not crazy. And what I would love to tell you too is, even if you don't have a perfect word for it, you're probably not crazy.
No, you're just a human going mm-hmm. through the human experience, and you're built the way you're built.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't get mad at ourselves because we're 5'2".
Yeah.
Am I using myself as an example? Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have days where I wish I was taller. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. But like, I mm-hmm. cannot change the fact that I am 5'2". And I think sometimes with some of these symptoms that we have, mm-hmm. we can't change it.
Yeah.
And you just have to hope that in your work and your effort with your therapist, with your provider, that you can find a way to live with it.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm so glad you mm-hmm. discovered that you think that might be it. I think it will absolutely, you know, as long as you have a good therapist, which it sounds like you've been with them for a year, so hopefully you feel a good connection with them, you will be able to look at things differently and be mm-hmm. able to come up with different strategies, different ideas and things like that too. But the label in and of itself doesn't always, unfortunately, it never really cures us.
No. It is
like a start, and it helps us understand things and try things differently.
Yeah.
It may inform medication choices, but a lot of times the really hard thing about diagnoses is they are the beginning, not the end. Like, they're the start of the journey in many ways.
Yep.
Next one from Rachel. Hey, Amanda and Sam, I need your professional take on something that's been driving me crazy. My sister's boyfriend shows all the classic signs of narcissism. He constantly talks about himself. He turns every conversation back into achievements. He never apologizes. He manipulates her constantly. I'm completely convinced that he's a narcissist, and I've even sent her articles about narcissistic abuse. But she gets very defensive and says I don't know him like she does. It feels like I'm watching her slowly lose herself, and it's breaking my heart. Is there a way I can help her see what's so obvious to everyone else? Can I somehow get him properly diagnosed so she'll believe me?
Oh boy. This is really hard. And it's really painful to watch, especially a sibling
mm-hmm.
go through something like this. What I would say is, whenever we're talking about someone who's in a relationship with someone who could potentially be abusive
mm-hmm.
or someone who seems to be fitting some of those tendencies, you're not going to win by further bashing the person, because we use your sister as the example. Your sister feels protective of she feels bonded to him. As much as it drives you insane, there is a connection there. It's toxic. It's gross. It's messy. We don't like it. Yet it's there. And when you attack the other person, your sister, there's a really strong chance that she is feeling that it is her obligation to protect him.
Yeah.
Because she is a lot more aware of the stuff than you think.
Yeah.
She has just wrapped herself in Simone Biles level mental gymnastics to try to justify the why, the how, the when, the where. But it's different on this day, and it's different this time. And he's so wonderful when he's in a good place, and, you know, the usual. And so I would start asking her how she is doing in the dynamic. How is she feeling? What is she feeling stressed about? What is she feeling worried about? And focusing it on her. Because the second you start to make it personal to the abuser or the perpetrator, the other person becomes incredibly protective. Because a lot of times, if an abuser or perpetrator finds out that the other one, that their partner, is making comments about them, talking about them behind their back, that can go really poorly
mm-hmm.
for the person in the relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would focus on really in like giving her opportunities to explore what this relationship is like for her and how she's experiencing it, and maybe asking her pointed questions instead of just like going in hard on saying, he's such a dick. It's like, we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing you're saying is wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're concerned, you're concerned, and that's very real. However, we know just from even like the political environment, there are some people that aren't interested. In fact, a lot of times it has to be shown to them how it is directly impacting their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just take some time to chat with her about how she's doing and ask her about her instead of always making it about him.
I think that's a really good point. I think the other thing that this brings up that's really interesting and important part of the self-diagnosis conversation is that it's also not helpful to diagnose other people a lot of times. Like it, I'm not saying don't do it. Like it,
right.
Like I believe you that he's probably a narcissist and things like that. I think that we have to remember that diagnosing is not meant to tell, like it is, you're never going to make someone change by telling them that you've diagnosed them with a specific condition, especially a narcissist.
Yeah.
But in any way, it's like, it's kind of like telling someone to like go to therapy as like an insult a bit. We're trying to use this diagnosis as a way to kind of get what we want
yeah.
in the situation. And this situation, I mean, it sounds like you're very concerned for your sister. So I empathize with wanting to get her out of this relationship. But I think it is kind of like throwing a grenade. It's going to backfire
yeah.
a bit. And I think that that's just like a good rule of thumb in general too, is as much as self-diagnosis is hard, there's also a lot of layers to diagnosing someone else that are pros and cons. Mm-hmm. There are pros in that it can help you understand someone.
Mm-hmm.
It can help give you a name to maybe what your sister's going through and help you assess the gravity of the situation. It can help you decide what you want to do, especially if you're the person in the relationship, understanding that someone is abusive or a narcissist or has PTSD or whatever, right, isn't, you know, probably has a substance use disorder, can be really empowering and helpful, but it's not going to be helpful to tell that person to try to get what you want. Like ultimately, right. whether this guy is a narcissist, has, you know, a personality disorder, is a sociopath, is a psychopath, whatever word you want to call it, whether he knows it or not doesn't matter, and whether your sister agrees or knows it doesn't matter. What actually matters is helping your sister get out of that situation
yeah.
ultimately, and that's what you care about.
Yeah.
So yeah, focusing on her, supporting her. I mean, as therapists, sometimes we see all the time our clients are in situations we don't like, we don't think they're being treated well,
yep.
and it's not helpful to bash that person. We have to slowly show someone like the mirror essentially and just say, are you sure about this? Are you sure about this? This is my concern. This yep. is what I'm thinking, and support them through it, because people do have agency in it. It is their life, but it is so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's messy and it's really painful. And I just want to acknowledge how hard it is to watch somebody that you love be in a situation that you know is causing them harm.
Yeah.
And so there's no easy way out of this, and I hope that you're taking care of yourself and, you know, holding boundaries where you need, because unfortunately your sister is making choices right now. And at the end of the day, we can be a safe space for her. We can do our best to keep those channels open so that if hopefully soon when she's ready to leave, mm-hmm. she'll do that. But in the meantime, take care of you and do what you can to just be open with her.
And I think it is like a delusion we can all fall into of yeah. thinking that if we find the right diagnosis for someone else and we give them enough information,
everything will change.
And yeah. that I think we can get very fixated that if I can just convince someone that this person is a narcissist, right. they will 100% leave.
They'll get it.
And that's not true.
No.
And it's a fallacy, unfortunately.
Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Thanks for writing in.
Yeah. Who's the next one?
Hey, Amanda and Sam. I'm a mom of three and have been struggling with what I now think is executive function my whole life. My oldest was just diagnosed with ADHD, and I started researching and realized I probably have it too. This is the thing, though. I've already made it this far. I've built a career. I have a family. So I'm wondering, is there actually any point to getting diagnosed now? Would it actually change anything for me or the stage of life? I'm torn between wanting validation and thinking maybe it doesn't matter.
I'm going to meet a question with a question. And that is, does this bother you?
Yeah.
Like, you sound like life is in a good place. You sound like, you know, things have gone well, right? At least from how mm-hmm. you're presenting it. Maybe you could hate things. Maybe you do. these later stage diagnoses, this is where it gets dicey.
Yeah.
Because even beyond the title, and if you were my client and we had been working together, we made this realization that maybe we do have some ADHD here at play and we're recognizing some of these symptoms in our life. Okay, maybe we do. Maybe we fit it. We tick all the boxes. I would then say, what would having that formal diagnosis change for you? Mm-hmm. Are you wanting to try medication? Are you wanting to do things differently? Mm-hmm. What about life isn't working that you would want to change? Mm-hmm. The diagnosis is fine. The diagnosis gives us a sense of direction, mm-hmm. for sure. And it's like I said in the last episode, this is up to you. Mm-hmm. It's your choice to, you know, go about your life and live it as it works for you. You know, a really interesting tidbit is something when I worked in the emergency room, something that would happen is a lot of family members would bring their severely mentally ill. And I am not saying ADHD is severe mental illness. This is just an example, but severe mental illness, such as manic bipolar, schizophrenia, mm-hmm. schizoaffective, psychosis, all of these really intense life altering diagnoses, they would bring their family members in hoping to get them placed in psychiatric care. And part of the issue with a lot of this is there are no it's not required that you take your medication.
Yep.
It's not required that you manage any mental illness or mental health diagnosis that you have. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people walking around the world right now that should be managed, but they're not.
Yep.
Now, of course, this is an extreme side of it. Absolutely. I'm in no way making a parallel or making a connection here. It's just a parallel. This is a deeply personal decision that you get to make. If it feels like a missing puzzle piece to your life, if it feels like something that makes sense and brings peace to your life, a greater understanding, and maybe an opportunity for you to do some things differently, great. Mm-hmm. Like, go explore that. If not, you get to just leave it. You get to have it just kind of be like a funny tidbit about yourself and be like, oh, I think I do.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you plan to do. Yeah, what your goal is, what you plan to do with a diagnosis. I think one of the biggest reasons to get diagnosed is if you want medication.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest reasons. Or are you in therapy? Do you want therapy? Do you want more support with executive functioning? Do you feel like you've got it figured out and you already have a system that works for yourself? Do you want to read some articles about executive functioning? Do you want to look at some of the tips that your daughter is getting and apply them to yourself? I mean, I think ultimately it's up to you, but I do think this is a good example of just the nuance of it is that just because you also think you have a diagnosis doesn't mean you know you need to go get officially diagnosed. If things got more challenging and you wanted more support, I think it would be absolutely worth going to do that. But yeah, I think this shows a good example of the diagnosis in and of itself is just a label.
Yeah.
And beyond getting medication, like there isn't just because someone ordains you as having ADHD you asked, what will it change in my life? I think we're asking you that question back. What would change in your life? Is that validation really important to you? Yeah. Are you curious in understanding how this has impacted you your whole life because you have struggled so much and it would be helpful to understand yourself more deeply? Mm-hmm. Or are you busy and you don't really
care?
And then great.
Yeah.
Go do that.
So spend some time with that question.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
We are also on Substack. Mm-hmm. So yeah, our plan is to try to do 2 episodes a week now where we'll do a shorter FAQ in addition to the longer one.
Yep.
If you want to ask more questions, you can check us out. We chat with people all the time on Substack, nuanceneeded.substack.com.
Our DMs are always open, whether it's on the Nuance Needed Instagram page or TikTok page or mine or Amanda's pages. Just let us know. Just reach out and we'd be more than happy.
You can also email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com. And as always, we appreciate your support.
Yeah. please rate, review, share, subscribe. You're the best, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.